On this episode of Still Loading, 7 golden coins. Oh.
6.
That's 7, isn't it?
6.
Son of a bitch. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Mario Month for 2020. I am your host, as usual, Josh, and with me, as usual, for Mario Month, Casey. How are you doing today?
Yes!
I'm doing well.
I know I just asked you that last episode, and for those not in the room, this is actually being recorded right after we recorded the last one. Just breaking that fourth wall there, breaking the illusion of whatever the fuck this is. Anyway, so we are diving in this week to the second Mario Land game, the Super Mario Land 6 Golden Coins. Not 7, as you were. Super Mario Land 6 Golden Coins. And this game is fucking great. It is so magical and charming, and just, I don't have enough good things to say about it. So let's hear from you first, then. What do you like this game? I'm assuming so.
Oh, it's so good, especially for a handheld.
What are some of your... So, I think you were saying before, this is your first Mario game?
Yeah, so I got the Game Boy as a kid. I think I was around like 2 or 3, and then this was the game that I got with it that my parents bought me. And I just remember playing it so, so much, and I absolutely love it. It's everything with the first one, they made like 3 times better. But I will say, I think I like the soundtrack of the first game a little bit more than this one.
I think the first one is just a little bit more memorable. I would agree with that. Let's talk about some of the specifics. So this game was released on October 21st, 1992 in Japan, and on November 2nd, 1992 in North America. So only really a week or so apart from each other. It was developed once again by R&D1, the same team that did the last one. They also did Metroid 2, The Return of Samus. I think that's The Return of Samus.
Yeah.
But it's the Game Boy game. The director of the game is Hiroji Kiyotake and Takehiko Hosokawa. I hope I said any of those correctly. The producer, once again, was Gunpei Yokoi. And the composer, actually, is a pretty well-known musician, Kazumi Totaka.
You can hear the Totaka tune in the beginning.
It's his famous Totaka tune. For those who don't know who Kazumi Totaka is, he is a famous Nintendo composer, and he's worked on games like Mario Paint and others that I can't think of right now.
I think he did Link's Awakening.
Probably.
I think he did.
But he's a pretty well-known Nintendo composer, and he has a song that's just called Totaka's Song that he somehow incorporates into a vast majority of his projects that he works on. Sometimes it's hidden in the project, sometimes it's right there outright, which, like you said, in this one, it's just on the title screen. I think that's where it is, right?
Yeah, I think if you wait long enough... That's when it starts to play. I haven't done it in a long time, so it's one of those things I'm going to have to YouTube again.
So, yeah, it's actually hidden on this one. It can be found on the game over screen after waiting 2.5 minutes.
And you will
hear Totaka's theme from there. So it's kind of cool. It's a little Easter egg that they throw in there. So, yeah, so he is the composer of the game. So that's just some quick little fun facts about it. So this game was interesting because it... from a lot of different perspectives, it was one of the few Mario games that had pretty much a direct sequel in terms of story. They actually had a story continuing through Mario Land 1. Mario goes to Sarasaland or Sarasland to rescue Princess Daisy. While he is gone, Wario, this is the introduction of Wario. It's the first time, it's the first time you ever see Wario or hear of Wario in a video game. It's his introduction. And so Wario comes and takes over Mario's existing castle and claims it for himself. And Mario has to travel through a bunch of different worlds and collect 6 golden coins in order to open the door to get to Wario's castle, well, to reclaim his castle. And Wario is kind of cool because his name is actually a pun. it is a play in Japanese specifically. So Mario is Mario, obviously, and then Warui means bad. So Wario, Mario plus Warui, you get Wario. It literally means bad Mario. I don't know if that's actually a pun, but it's whatever. You get the idea. So that's where the name Wario comes from, and it fits. And Wario is, it's interesting because he started out as a villain, and then he's since turned into an anti-hero, mm-hmm. where he's kind of doing the right things, but for all the wrong reasons. All he wants is treasure. Yep. That's all he gives a shit about. And I'm really excited to be talking about his games after this, because this is in the Mario Land series, for lack of a better term, because it's really in the Mario Land series up until the third one, and then it dies and goes to Wario Land 2, 3, and 4. But Wario, it's interesting because the Mario Land formula is really only the Mario formula up until this one. This is the last one that stays true to the Mario formula, yep. because it's going to change up a lot in the next game, which we will talk about once we get to that next game. So let's address the first, at least to me, the biggest noticeable difference between this game and the last game, the graphics.
The upscaling.
It is so nice.
Yep.
It is a little different. So in the first Mario Land game, everything was so tiny because they wanted to show as much of the level as possible for players to be able to see what's coming. In this one, they took a different approach. They made the sprites a lot more appealing. Instead of these little tiny Mario sprites, you actually get these really appealing, almost Super Mario 2 sprites. Almost, actually, more Mario World sprites, it looks like. It's more comparable to Mario World, I would say. In fact, something I looked up was saying that they even went for a more Mario World feel with this game, which I definitely think they achieved to an extent. It's a lot different. It's a lot different from the first Mario Land in the sense there's actually a world map, kind of like Mario Land, Super
like
Mario Bros. 3.
Map.
There's mm-hmm. an overworld map like Super Mario Bros. 3 and like Mario World, and they made the characters so much bigger, and like the coin blocks are so huge in this compared to the old one.
It's
to the first one.
It's great too because you can actually go back to old levels
mm-hmm.
and get things you haven't before, like we're in the previous Mario Land game you couldn't.
It's like the original. It's
yeah,
it's
exactly.
So it's so indicative of the original Super Mario Bros. Game where you can only go one direction, you can't go back, mm-hmm. you can only go right, and it's just, you know, handful of levels per game. Like they really went for the first Super Mario Bros. And mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing. It's just that's what they went for.
Yep.
This one they clearly were trying something different, and it fucking worked. They knocked it out of the park. And with that, though, with the bigger sprites and the bigger graphics, they had to shrink down what you could see on the screen. So in Super Mario Land 1, you could see so much of the level as you're playing through it. This one, you only see very small segments of the level because they have so much more on screen at once. Like the sprites are bigger, everything's bigger, so they have to accommodate for that. And because they have to accommodate for that, you don't see as much, which is kind of a shame, but it also makes sense why they have to do it. It's a technical limitation of mm-hmm. the Game Boy. But I actually think they did a really good job designing the game around that limitation. So now that you can't see as much as the level and you can't see enemies coming, you have less reaction time if you think about it. So if an enemy is coming in hot, it's very hard to dodge them. But they usually don't do that. The enemies are very slow and very at a good steady pace, and that's good because you can't see them coming as quickly as you did on Mario Land 1, where you could see them from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what are some of your favorite attributes of the game, Casey?
Well, just like I mentioned, I really like how there's an overworld map. You can go back, play different levels. The bosses are pretty creative per world. Music is great. Even though I think I prefer the first one, and like you said, it's a little bit more memorable. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, this one is still very memorable. It doesn't go unnoticed. The controls are much, much better in this game.
Yes.
Much better.
And they have a lot of unique gameplay ideas for it. One of the ones that I thought was really cool is that there's these sections there's these like little portions of there's this one level, excuse me, I'm not explaining this well at all, but there's this one level where you have to jump into essentially almost looks like goo. It looks like just jello. Mm-hmm. And you jump into it and it slows Mario down a lot. And so you have to, there's a couple segments and you can jump out of it. Like if you keep hitting jump, you'll be able to go up through it, I believe. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple segments later on in the game where there's nothing underneath you. And the first place they have it in, there's just floor underneath you. So even if you fall all the way through, you're fine. But as you get farther into the game, there is a section where there's nothing beneath you and you have to sink. You have to let yourself sometimes sink through this slow falling thing and jump out at the right time before you fall all the way through to your death. And you have to time all your jumps really well. It's really fun to see where they progress. That was one of my favorite mechanics that they added, this like slow fall jelly thing. I don't know what it was. When I was playing it on my Game Boy Advance SP, so admittedly, the game is designed once again to be in black and white, and this is not, so they do a lot of weird things with the color in these. I always find watching, I always like playing old Game Boy games on these color systems because since it wasn't meant to be that, the colors are all wonky and they do really weird like things with it.
I know you can change the colors at the beginning when you first turn the game on, depending on the D-pad. Do you know about that?
Are you talking about on the Super Game Boy?
So if you were to play any type of original Game Boy game on the Game Boy Advance or Game Boy Advance SP, the second when the Game Boy logo comes up, if you press like up, down, right, or left, like you can change the color palette. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I would play around with that. And,
oh, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Some gamer I am. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yep.
So the game is divided up into a bunch of different zones. You have a couple levels outside of the zone, but in each zone there are more than three levels. There's, I think, maybe four or five, depending.
Yeah.
But it's cool because there's branching paths, so you don't have to play all of the levels to get to the final boss of that zone.
And you can unlock secret levels. I think every world has a secret level. I think.
Does it?
I think, yeah.
So the three different zones, you have the tree zone, the space zone, which was kind of hard to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the zones also only had like two or three levels in them, which was I thought was interesting.
Space only had two, yeah.
Yeah, space, it was just one and then the final boss level. Macro zone, which everything is, basically Mario is shrunk and everything's huge. That was actually a really fun one. Pumpkin zone, Mario zone, and Turtle zone. Now, Mario zone was really interesting. It was kind of like you see this giant Mario robot, and you had to climb inside and go up Mario, like this Mario robot, and fight the final boss. And the bosses in this game are super weird too. There is the boss in the Mario zone is the three little pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Super
of all the things, not the wolf,
those pigs.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Not the wolf from that fairy tale, but the three little pigs, the good guys, supposedly. So yeah, there's a lot of variety in this game. All the graphics are just so fucking good. I just can't get over it. It's night and day.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the original and the second game. So yeah, they also added a lot more power-ups into this game there besides just the fire flower. I'm pretty sure all that you had in Mario Land 1 was the fire flower, well
yeah, that and the
flower
the mushroom
thing.
Yeah.
and the power-up mushroom. Yeah. So you have that, but then it's a little interesting. So hearts, they have hearts which gives Mario a one-up. Carrots, you can get a carrot which turns Mario into a bunny, and he can kind of hover with his bunny ears, which is kind of interesting.
I would exploit the hell out of that when I was a kid,
right?
Using in Wario's castle. I'm like, I can't beat this castle without using that.
It's very similar to the cape. Well, not really the cape, because the cape you can actually fly, but to the raccoon suit in Mario 3,
mm-hmm.
Super Mario Bros. 3. But it cannot fly. It just lets you kind of glide down. So if you just spam the button then, and it, you can glide pretty far too. Like I was able to cheese a couple of levels with those bunny ears. And then you have a weapon or a power up called a bubble, which is, or it's just a bubble. I made it sound like people don't know what bubbles are. You know, it's this thing called a bubble. No, but it only appears in one level, and it's used in a really interesting way. It's more just
to get to the star zone.
Yeah, pretty much. You also get a spacesuit, but that automatically gets equipped when you enter the space zone. So it's not really a power up. It doesn't really change much. And then, of course, like the fire, like I said before, the fire flower. So you have all of those power ups plus the normal fire flower and mushroom. So it was cool because it expanded on the game a lot. And once again, this game just it expands so much on what the original one did. It made it so much better.
Yep. And I know we were talking about the bonus level in the previous game, and you know they brought this back here, except the difference is instead of two exits, it's just the one, but there's a bell on the very top of the door that you have to, you know, ring before.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah.
So you have to travel through all these different worlds and all these different lands, and you collect the 6 coins to, you know, take back the kingdom. And Wario has actually brainwashed all the citizens of the Mushroom Kingdom, and now what he's calling Wario Land, hence why later on you have games called Wario Land. I'm so happy to excited to talk about those too. I just started playing those for the first time like this year, and I really, really like the Wario Land games. Like, I seriously enjoy playing them.
Do you have Shake It?
No, WarioWare or
Wario Land. Is it WarioWare?
I don't know.
I think it's Wario Land.
Isn't that a Game Boy game or is that a GameCube?
For the Wii.
Is it for the Wii?
For the
okay.
Wii. It's really fun.
Wario's interesting too because now he went from being a platformer character to more of a mini game character. Like the WarioWare games are pretty much what he's known for now. I would really like to see a new Wario Land game or just something along those lines. I think that'd be really fun to do.
I still got
to
play Wario World for the GameCube.
I do too. Yeah. Wario is one of those characters that has eluded me for a long time because I never really played a whole lot of his games. And then in preparation for Mario Month, I've been playing a shitload of them. And at the time of this recording, I actually still have to beat Wario Land 3, but that's next on my list to play. But I loved Wario Land 1 and 2, and it was really interesting to see where he comes in on this one because, like we said, he's a villain now, and then he becomes an anti-hero later on. But he's a fun villain, and he's just goofy. He's got a great, he's so expressive. And he just makes it that much better when you are fighting him. And even fighting him, it's a funny final boss because you defeat him and then he runs away. Then you have to defeat him again and then he runs away type of thing. and it just, I mean, him running away isn't necessarily funny. It's just he's so expressive with everything that he does. It makes everything so interesting.
So I know that we were also talking about the enemies in the previous one and how they're like really tiny, obviously. And then that you have the Koopas. The Koopa Troopas that would explode when you jump on them. Obviously took that out of this game. You can actually pick them up this time. You can actually jump on them and pick them up, but instead of like, you know, holding them in front of you, like Mario wears it as a hat and you can just throw it at the enemies.
Well, couldn't you do that in like Mario 3 and Mario
Right,
World?
No, I was just talking about Super Mario Land.
Okay.
Yeah, you couldn't, you know.
So it was they added more functionality to Mario too besides what they did in the first one. The game is just so night and day. They also had a lot of different mini games that you could choose from. I thought they were all bullshit when I played the mini games.
Oh, to get the prizes,
The skill crane was just impossible to figure out for me.
Oh, really?
It was a claw.
It was a claw.
It was on a conveyor belt, and you had to drop the claw at the right time.
That so much as a kid that I know like the technique, so I'll have to show you. And I would always get the three up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I was so bad at it. But no, so all the different levels, you get tons of different final bosses to it. The levels, the final boss of the tree zone is a crow. And I actually remember fighting that boss, and that was actually one of the more fun ones for me. You have to jump on his head. What I like with the Mario Land series in general is that they kind of subvert, with the exception of the first game, they subvert your expectations of how to beat bosses. Sometimes to my frustration, because it's not always clear. This game, I didn't really have any issues with any of the bosses. I was able to figure them out, for the most part, relatively easy. But it's not necessarily just jumping on their head and to hit three times to beat a boss. It's sometimes they have to do other stuff. Like in Wario Land 2, there's a handful of bosses where you have to throw stuff at them, kind of like Super Mario World, to defeat them, or you have to get some environmental effect to damage them. So I like the fact that you can kind of see the roots of that in this game, in the sense where all the bosses are super unique. I'm pretty sure like the three pigs or something like that, they had a really unique mechanic to defeat them.
I know the one just rolled back and forth pretty quickly every time you jumped on it. The second one was, it bounced, but it was like, it would get like really thin and bounce higher. Mm-hmm. And then you had to try to jump on that. And then the third one was the same thing, but it was like short and round. So it's one of the things you had to experience.
No, I get what you're saying. But that's interesting though, because it's three different enemies that you have to fight at once.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have different patterns and different mechanics, but they balanced it really well. That could be easily overwhelming for a player, especially someone unexperienced. Now, granted, Mario Zone is a little bit further into the game, but even so, you don't have to be that experienced to get to it. And so they balanced it very well, considering that new players could potentially go to that right away or close to right away.
And the cool thing about this game is that there are save states. You know, it's not like...
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is one of the weird things that took me a while to get used to. This game saves automatically mm-hmm. in between levels. So there's no save bar, just automatically does it.
Yep.
And so I would die and I would turn off. I'm like, dude, how do I save this? This is a long fucking game. And it just does it automatically. It was really weird. I wasn't used to that. And when you go to later games in the series, it actually has like a full save bar. It tells you when they're saving it. Granted, it's still super fast because it's a cartridge, but it's interesting to see even like an early Mario game needs a save feature on a Game Boy. I find that the first Mario game that got it was Super Mario World.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. This game was kind of modeled after Super Mario World, both in design and in look. And like we said before, it very clearly looks like a Super Mario World game, but it blows my mind what they were able to do on a Game Boy, man. Because the thing was just so much, so underpowered compared to other stuff coming out at the time, like the Sega Game Gear was full color and backlit in the same time. Granted, it took 6 AA's and destroyed them in about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And even the original Game Boy, it took 4 AA's, but that it lasted for what, like 30 hours or something like that. It was an obscene amount of time. And then that's always been a design philosophy for Nintendo. They do, I talked about it in the Gunpei Yokoi episode, but he had a strategy, and Nintendo adopted the strategy a lot. It was lateral thinking of withered technology, or with withered technology, and it's the idea of taking older tech that's less expensive, or more inexpensive, I should say. It's not cheap, but more inexpensive, and they find new ways to do it, new ways to use it. And Nintendo has never really gotten rid of that philosophy. Look at the Switch. The Switch is severely underpowered compared to the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X. But what they did was they took an idea and they ran with it, with the Joy-Cons and how they interact with everything and how they work. They took an older technology that was less expensive for them to make, and they found a new way to make it enjoyable, mm-hmm. a new way to make it work. And I mean, it's the same thing even with the games they release. Mario Land 1 is Super Mario Bros., but they found a way to make it work for a fresh new way to make it work. Super Mario Land 2 is Super Mario World just laterally moved over. Like, all right, well, how can we make Super Mario World but our own?
Yeah,
and on a Game Boy.
They each have their own boss in the, you know, the area that you go through. You know, kind of like the Koopalings in Super Mario World, where you have to go through each castle. And mm-hmm. the overworld map, and it's so well done. They're so innovative, and it blows my mind constantly how they continue to raise the bar
mm-hmm.
with every major game they put out. Like Odyssey, I was like, okay, you know, it's going to be great. It's a Mario title, but you know what? How can they wow me? And they always find a way. Find a way to wow you.
I mean, and some games are, you know, they're hidden. There's sometimes they do have misses.
Sure.
There's a good chunk actually that are misses with Nintendo. But overall, like it just it it amazes me what they were able to do with this game with the limitations of the Game Boy. And the Game Boy, it's funny because everyone kind of looks down. I shouldn't say everyone. People look down on it periodically because it is so underpowered. But like, there's a guy that I follow. He's from the podcast Retronauts, which I've talked about on this podcast before. Once again, they don't know me at all. But he has a YouTube channel. His name's Jeremy Parrish. Parrish is spelled P-A-R-I-S-H, just how you would, I guess, kind of how you would think it would be spelled. And he does a thing called Game Boy World, where he is trying to document. He will get high resolution scans of all the game, of all the Game Boy boxes and manuals. He'll take pictures, he'll document everything, and then he'll play the game and he'll record footage of the game and he'll play a lot of it. And the reason is that it's for archival purposes. He wants to be able to play through the entire Game Boy library. And I'm talking the shit games too, the shitty Othello games that you'll get, all the Tetris clones that you will see. He's playing through some Japanese ones too, all the pachinko games. There's a lot of pachinko games on the Game Boy. And for those who don't know what pachinko is, it's a gambling, it's like almost like a slot machine kind of. It's not a slot machine, but it's like the equivalent, where it's a gambling thing where you put money in, you pull a lever, but you have a little more control over it. So pachinko is where you shoot a bunch of tiny metal balls into this field, or into the machine, or the machine has a bunch of tiny metal balls that shoot up, and you can kind of control the trajectory and the angle of the balls, and they trickle down through these little pins and they fall into different slots. And if you get enough in the right slot, or if you get one in a slot, then you win money. So there is a tiny little bit of skill involved, because you get to change the trajectory, but it's still completely random. However, you know, all the slight variations of where they hit the little pins. They did a version of this actually in Mario, in Super Mario Sunshine.
And it was incredibly infuriating.
Yep. Everyone remembers that for all the wrong reasons.
Yep. I was about to bring that up, but you beat me to it.
Oh my God. So back to Mario Land 2, though. The 6 golden coins, not the 7 golden coins.
The 7 deadly sins.
Right? Overall, this game was just super creative with all their different bosses and all of their different worlds. I think, like I said before, one of my favorites was Macro World. And Macro World had, I believe, the boss in Macro World was...
It was a rat.
It was a rat.
Yeah.
It was a rat. It was very strange. Because so Mario,
It's Marchand.
It's Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand. For those who... know hockey, Brad Marchand is not one of the most liked players in the NHL. In fact... There's a recent poll, like one of those anonymous polls for NHL players, and he was voted as the dirtiest player in the league by the players. All done anonymously, so he can't call anybody out. But yeah. So
deep down, he takes pride in that.
Oh, 100%. But no, so so Mario shrinks to go into Macro Zone or Micro Zone, whatever you want to call it. And it's cool to see on the map, because on the world map, you'll walk into a cave and you'll come out on the inside, and all of a sudden Mario is just super tiny on the world map. And then he goes up into this house, and that's where you go to Macro Zone.
I have two quick stories, both of which are, well, the one's funny, the one's just not. But you know how the Macro Zone's basically a house?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it because it literally looks like my grandmother's old house.
Really?
So I'll have to take a picture of it and send it to you.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's really funny. But the second one was in high school. I was in part of a computer class. And for this particular class, there really wasn't a whole lot of people in it, because I went to a very small school. Mm-hmm. Weirdly enough, it's a public school that was really tiny. Anyway.
Weird.
Yeah. So we each had to do a project on something computer related. I think it had to do with, I think we were assigned something.
Okay.
And mine had to do with macros and how to, create a macro and whatnot. And I did a PowerPoint. And the beginning slide, I did the Macro Zone.
Really?
Mario Land 2. Yeah. I'm like, you guys are entering the Macro Zone now.
Did anyone
no one
get
got
the
it.
Reference?
Oh. I don't care, though. I loved it.
I don't blame. Do you still have the PowerPoint?
Oh, man. I'll have to look. I might.
But the Macro Zone was my favorite because you would have a bunch of different, you know, you would, all the levels are themed to things like an anthill or the house plumbing or the kitchen or the fireplace in the attic. And then you finally fight a rat. All the final bosses in each zone are just so strange. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. But it was always super satisfying when you would beat a boss and you'd get the golden coin and watch it fall into slot in Wario's castle. And because you could go up to that castle at any point and check on those coins, which was kind of cool. And I also like that when you finally get all six golden coins, it's not a long-ass gauntlet of just hell trying to get to Wario. It's tough, don't get me wrong, but it's not the most insane
thing. It's doable tough. I like it. Yeah. Like, sometimes, like, there would be a sensor on one of the platforms that you walk over, and if you hit it, like, you can see Wario's fist go up and down, and you have to try to run under it. And I remember trying to jump over that sensor as a kid, and, like, it's hard. When you're playing on the original Game Boy, like, that's kind of hard to decipher because of how it looks, but if you play it on, like, the Advance or the Color or whatever, like, you can see where that sensor is. But I thought that was pretty cool how they did that.
And so the final level of the game is when you're to fight Wario. I was thankful it wasn't a gauntlet of, you know, levels like they do in Mario World or Super Mario Bros. 3, where you have the castle and it's a maze. I hated that. I hated so much that in Mario 3 that it was a maze on the final castle.
So when you say maze, you mean like, you know how in the original Mario, how if you don't do it through a certain pattern, you have to do it again?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know.
Didn't they do that in 3 as well?
No, it's just really, really. Well, I think you have to go through certain doors.
Yeah.
So they did it differently, but yeah. It was. Mm-hmm. Shows how much I know.
But I hated how in the Super Mario Bros. 1 and 3, for that matter, it's kind of a maze. You have to pick the right door, and if you don't, then you get sent all the way back to the beginning of the level, and you're still on the same timer. I was thankful it was not a running gauntlet like that, but what I hated about it is that it was still super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight two mini-bosses before you get to Wario, and it's just these two weird looking floating, it almost looks like the angry sun but without all the sun rays, and it has Wario's mustache and face on it, and you fight one of them, it just bounces around the room, it doesn't necessarily go after you, it just bounces around, you have to just jump on top of them. You beat that, and then you go to the next room, and then there's two of them, and you have to dodge two of them, and they're all moving at these weird angles and different intervals, and it's difficult. So then you go, when you finally do that, though, then you go to the third one, then you actually fight Wario. And Wario, I believe, has three phases. The first one is just jumping on top of his head and dodging. There's this crystal ball that shows up, and he has to, every time he jumps and tries to slam his butt down, the crystal ball falls, so you have to dodge that and also make sure you're not under Wario when it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty easy. Then the second one is you get bunny ears, and so does Wario, and you have to, so he can float a little bit, and it's pretty much the same thing, crystal ball and all, but now he's hovering, so the timing's a little bit different.
Yep. And so then, I'm trying to think. So the first one, I know he runs around, and then I know for this one, for the bunny ears, not only does he fall from above to have the crystal try to fall on you to hurt you, but at the same time, he also tries to do it himself.
Yes. Yeah. And, I mean, that's how it is in the first and second phase, but the second phase, he has bunny ears, so now he's hovering above you, so you don't really know where he's going to be.
Yep.
And then the third phase, he gets a fire flower, and he starts shooting fireballs at you. I personally found that to be the easiest phase, because I was able to keep my bunny ears from the second one. Because if you don't have bunny ears in between the first, by the time you get to the second phase, you're given it right beforehand. It's right above it. So you get bunny ears there, and it doesn't make it that easy, but you can do it. The third phase is a joke if you have the bunny ears, because you can just hover above him and just stay on top of him and then fall down, hit him. I think even on the bunny ears one, that's all I did. Like, the crystal ball never had a chance to spawn, because I literally just stayed on top of him the whole time, stayed floating. And since he was staying up there floating as well, he just kept staying there, and I just kept hitting him. I hit him like three times before the crystal ball even showed up. So if you're good with the bunny ears, which it's pretty easy to be pretty good with the bunny ears, you can just wreck Wario pretty easily. And seeing him in this game, he's fucking terrifying. He's got huge ass eyes, almost looks like Gritty. Right?
Yeah, he does.
The Flyers mascot, Gritty, for those who don't know. Look him up. He's great. He's a hero. Did you This is complete non sequitur, not related to Mario Land 2 at all. Did you see that Gritty guy? There's police. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure it's fake. So Gritty, the Philadelphia Flyers mascot, supposedly is getting he has not necessarily an arrest warrant, but there's an investigation being done into him by the police for punching a child in the back of the head.
Yeah. He punched some 13-year-old.
A 13-year-old kid, and the dad is complaining. It happened at a meet-and-greet event in November, and he tried to work it out with the Flyers organization, and they couldn't come to terms, and so he decided to file a police report. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
It has to be a publicity stunt, especially because they kept referring to Gritty as if he was a person. They don't mention the person inside of Gritty's costume. They're not opening an investigation into that person. It's into Gritty. As an entity,
kind of makes it all the better,
right? It's so strange. Imagine Gritty in a Mario game. He would fit right in.
That'd be
perfect.
He'd
fit right into these old ones. Yeah. I don't think he'd fit into the current Mario canon. Dude, why doesn't the NHL make a game where it's like a mascot platformer where all the different mascots, and they could do like a tournament where the best player from each team, not hockey player, but like someone who's good at the San Jose Sharks game, like mascot, like platformer video game, and the Philadelphia Flyers platformer video game and whatnot. And then they all come together for like a final tournament, like the best like platformers, and it's a new game. It's just an NHL one.
That'd be pretty cool.
Right?
Speaking of, Super Mario and games like that, I only saw small clips of it, but did you see how there's a developer who is making a Super Mario game using the Super Mario Brothers cartoon?
No.
Oh, it's really cool.
Almost like Cuphead, but with the Super...
But Super Mario Brothers cartoon, you should check it out. I gotta look into that.
Oh my god. Is it...
Like, that type of animation.
Is it going to be licensed by Nintendo, or is it like an indie game
I think it's an indie. I didn't look
so
into
it. So it's unlicensed, and it's gonna get cease and desist.
Nintendo's probably gonna take action. But yeah, take a look when you get a chance.
It I think I just really, came. Really, no, I'm just kidding.
I did. No need to be shamed.
Gross. Get out. No. It's not that kind of show, Casey. So anyway, that'd be wild though. I would love that, man. That'd be so fucking cool. That'd be that's such a great idea. A platformer with the Mario cartoon. I bet you the same people who made Cuphead could do something like that.
I'm probably butchering this, but it may have been the same developer, maybe not. Don't take what I say seriously.
That's fucking awesome though. So anyway. So, Super Mario Land 2, overall, fantastic game.
Absolutely.
It is one of my personal favorites. And I only played it somewhat recently. I went on a missions trip a couple months ago now, and I beat it on that missions trip. I beat Super Mario Land 2, and it was funny because my wife was on it, and she would just hear me over in the corner just like freaking out, getting so mad at this final zone. Even though it's not bad, like every time I died, I was never mad at the game. I was only mad at myself. I never felt cheated.
Mm-hmm.
I was just mad that I couldn't get the pattern done. I mean, it was still difficult, but I'm also really bad at 2D platformers, so that might be a reason as to why I was getting so frustrated. I'm much better at 3D platformers, like a lot better at 3D platformers, but it holds up. It's so good. It took everything that the first game had, made it better, and on top of that, just expanded the universe. And I think it's one of the few story continuations in any Mario game. There is actual continuity in it. You don't really get that in other Mario games, do you? At least not... To be fair, maybe Mario World, it happened after Mario Bros. 3 because there is like a sunken ship in Mario World, so it could be like the airship from Super Mario Bros. 3. That's always been like a fan theory. But I don't know if that's in the manual because I don't have the manuals for any of those.
Yeah, for the older Mario titles, it hasn't really been a continuing story. I'm not really counting Galaxy or Galaxy 2 since that's later on, but like for the newer one or the older ones, nothing comes to mind.
Right?
I mean, I don't count. I mean, I guess you could count, but Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2 Japan, maybe.
But I don't know. Is there? That's
maybe
that could be. I don't know if there is any story.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't really.
But anyway, so that should do it for this episode of Still Loading. I feel like we've talked a good amount about Super Mario Land 2. We've talked about the gameplay and how it's different, all the different power-ups, the new power-ups you get for it. We also have talked about the difference in graphics, the difference in music, Kazumi Totaka, you know, and mm-hmm. Totaka song being hidden in there, and just overall just a complete overhaul of Super Mario Land 1, but just it amped everything up. It's great. And like you said, this is your first Mario game. So with that in mind, what is your final verdict on this game?
Oh my God. It was, it is definitely a great first game to ever play in your life. It's a great game. It still holds up even today. I mean, I know the first one sort of does, but this one seems timeless when it comes to handhelds. I absolutely love it. I still have my original copy. Sitting next to me, actually. And you know what's crazy? And I was talking to someone about this last week. You know how Pokemon has a lot of battery issues? You know how whenever you would buy a cartridge, like for Pokemon Crystal or whatever, it'll be like, oh, new battery, because they're known to die out after a certain amount of time?
I mean, I never had that issue, but
understandable, but I know, like, but it's notorious.
But in general, like, old games that have a battery backup tend to do that.
This game that I have is going on 28 years and it still has the same battery and it still saves. It's like, how does that even work?
That's wild. Yeah, that's crazy.
I never had it replaced.
Those, and it's crazy because most likely Nintendo only used those batteries to last for a handful of years, not 30.
Yeah,
but that's crazy to think about. We're only 2 years out from this game being 30.
It's scary.
That is right. I mean, theoretically, you're a year younger than me?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was born in 89, so I'm as old as the Game Boy, which is fucking terrifying to think about. Like, yeah. That's really makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it. So that wraps it up for this episode of Still Loading. Casey, thank you for joining me Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. I would just like to remind everyone that the Still Loading podcast is partnered with the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to fundraise and provide video games for children receiving inpatient care at children's hospitals. You can check out their webpage at bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Still Loading Pod on all of them. If you want to support the show, please consider checking out my Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month will help me grow the show to new heights and do more things. If you want to just support me in other ways, it's not monetarily, totally understand. Please consider giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting app that you use. And also check out the podcast network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. Go to podbeardnetwork.com, check out all the great shows. And Casey, anything you want to promote? Any social medias?
Sure. I'll just promote my Instagram again. It is TK_KazuyaKane, KazuyaKane. I basically just, I do a lot of tech in there, hence the TK. But I also post a lot of my video game collection and anything video game related, like memorabilia, etc. So very similar to Josh's Instagram.
And that should do it. So with all that said, I will see you all next week for Super Mario Land 3, Wario Land. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.